you can still be safe. Just turn button if you want to go through it.
Okay. Hopefully we'll be able to stay on the record. Well, maybe not, actually. It's great to be here again. And I wanted to start off with something a little bit off the topic, but very much on point for what you're doing this year. And that is, and I think this is the first thing that you're going to have to address in your tshuva, and that is, what is the role of the press? How would the halakha view the role of the journalist? Specifically, I mentioned to the group about in your tshuva, you got to be asking, well, why is that woman doing this entire investigation? Shouldn't somebody else be doing that, perhaps? Now, let's start with that in mind. Let's take a look at, we're going to jump into sources ahead. Let's take a look at source number 5 and source number 6. This is the tshuva of the Shlitz Yaakov. Here he's specifically talking about the Hesers who read a newspaper on Shabbos. And let's see what he has to say about it. And what he, and let's see number 6, what the Mishnah Berurah says about the Shlitz Yaakov, about reading a newspaper on Shabbos, and what the Mishnah Berurah does not say. Everyone there? Okay, good. Let's take a look at that. Okay, good. Okay, source number 1. All right, so just those of you who don't know Yiddish, Zeitung is a newspaper. Okay, Al Dvar Kriyat HaNait Zeitung B'Shabbos. Right, can you read source number 5? Can you read, this is a Shua in the 18th century, the Shlitz Yaakov. Are you allowed to read, Ashkenaz is in Germany, newspaper on Shabbos. As Shalom asked, Shitzuhu the Psak, the Us Likos, the Sigma Mohammed. When there's like there's a post in the set of Shabbos that Shabbos is not a time to be reading about Sifrei Mohammed, war, stories about wars. Hana Mohammed HaKodin HaYishanin. That's speaking about what happened in the past. Shem Ben Sarah Likos Ben Akshav, and no compelling reason to read it now. Aval, the Toch Ksav, his consciousness, Barton Mikro, shows Manam Halalu. Newspapers, we're speaking about what's going on currently. Sheesh Ben Kama Sarkai Bnei Ozan, there are many things to know about, that people need to know. Leid the Beis Medina, Shehu Milchama, Usha Mikro, Zod Chas Shalom, to know where there's trouble. Why, perhaps, Efshar Lak Seal, Eza Davai, Eza Pulach Yosebazet. Maybe if you know, with knowledge comes power. If you know about something, if you're aware of what's going on in the world, you'll be able to say something. Nearly, the letter of the Ishikriya Mishum Shtari Hajotos is not a problem to read in Hashtari Hajotos is a Hilkos Shabbos issue. It's no problem with Hashtari Hajotos. Okay? Now, let's take a look and see what Mishnah Berurah says, number 6. And what does the Mishnah Berurah not say? And perhaps this could be a response to a question I was asked by one of the students at the Yeshiva High School I teach at, KBC, who's one of our finest Talmudim. And one of the students, the host didn't ask this question, but another student didn't ask this question. He asked, Rabbi, are you allowed to read newspapers? The Mukha to read newspapers. The whole lots of Lashon Hara in the newspapers, and he showed me a paper from the Chavetz Chaim, and one of his mukhtars were. He showed me he railed against reading newspapers with all the Lashon Hara, and I spoke to even Rav Herschel Schachter about this. So I'm at a wedding, I came to him, and I asked, well, what about reading, what do you say about this? His response was, he's not sure. Right? So let's bear that in mind. And let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, right? And when you read a source, you have to see what it says and what it doesn't say. Right? So I want you to tell me what it doesn't say. Source number 6. Li and Kriya Saitin in the Shabbos. Ash Mitzvah Shus Yaakov Meikah Baza Abi Achonim Osrim Yidnei Sheyesh Behem Yidiyah V'Yinei Masal Matan. What are you saying? The problem for you on Shabbos because I think you're about the stocks, I think you're about the business. So therefore, we shouldn't be reading it on Shabbos. Okay, fine. Okay, let's we're not learning Hilchos Shabbos this year. What can you call from this Mishnah? Right, despite what? Despite, even though he wrote elsewhere that there's an issue of Lashon Hara here, doesn't raise that whatsoever in the Mishnah Berurah, which is to my mind striking, very striking. Yes.
Correct me if I'm mistaken. Wasn't the other Tayyim partially like the general editor of Mishnah Berurah, and there were parts of it written by people who were under him?
Right.
Era.
Mishnah Berurah scholarship, right. J-E-N-T.
No, it was written by people who he was supervising.
That's what the son writes in the biography.
There's this era between what he writes but there somewhere else and what, you know, someone writes in a, you know, back-ended line, you know, in a different context where it comes with Baruch Hagar,
okay,
what time was editing. So then you say, well, it must be, you didn't really believe what he said is
okay.
Another way
that
he's talking about that is very, very difficult.
Okay, you sound like a Bible scholar. You know what I'm saying? There's two different sources, and that's a contradiction, you know. But, you know, when it comes to Bible scholarship, being the better way to deal with it is to try to find some kind of harmony. So I think, can you try to harm? You're right. I mean, obviously not with Tanakh, no. But with the Mishnah, you're right. That's what the Chabad Chaim's son specifically writes. That when you find contradictions within the Mishnah Berurah, certainly with other writings, that you can attribute it to that he was just a general editor, so a different author. Okay, fine. But what? But how about let's try to find a more substantive way of resolving this contradiction between what a Chabad Chaim wrote elsewhere and what's clearly implied by this Dior Halacha. And I think this is essential, and I think this really may be a central point of what you want to get across in your tshuva. Yes?
I mean, by quoting the Shur Yaakov, he seems to be going back to his original concept of Torah.
Okay.
The standard of Torah, the Shur Yaakov, is not necessarily as high as the standards of
Torah
has.
Okay.
But it seems that he seems to have some concept that Rudin's paper might be able to fit out the same qualifications as well.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so we have an explanation for the Chabad Chaim here in the Mishnah Berurah and the Shmos Yaakov. There's a need to read it. Now, but what do you say about what we wrote in that Musa paper? Can you make a distinction? Can you make an Okimta? That in the Musa paper it's speaking about X and the Mishnah Berurah is speaking about Y. Can you suggest that?
It's still Musa paper. Which is, you know,
good.
Good practice versus, you know, things that
must have happened. Okay, now it's the idea, maybe ideal and a real, and elsewhere we have a similar sphera. One of his Muslim songs he wrote, he railed against smoking cigarettes. And he writes, it's interesting, he said that it's a problem with it's going to damage your health. And why should you be doing this to victors? It's very interesting that he wrote this before the Surgeon General came out with the warnings here in the 60s. But in Mishnah Berurah, when he addresses the issue of smoking on Yom Tov, no mention at all about that you shouldn't be smoking altogether, which is interesting. So you could say he has a star for Sifrei Musa, and he has a star for Halacha Sfarim. You definitely could say that. You could say it's a different author. But looking perhaps a really basic point about journalism that perhaps you can resolve this theory. Yes?
I don't think you even have to go there. Why can't you just say that in the Shmuel Yaakov he's talking about like op-ed,
uh-huh,
and then the Hilchos Shabbos he was talking about being stopped.
Okay.
The Hilchos Shabbos he's doing some serious business.
Right.
The Yaakov he's been saying it's not appropriate because of these things that are nasty and continue.
Okay. So I think what you could say is it depends. Depends what section of the newspaper that you read. That's what you're saying, right? If you're reading the or the intrigue about different people, what's going on in their lives, and that's something that's important to know. Okay, that's one distinction. But I want you to perhaps put forth, and let's see what you're going to say. I like what you're saying. Maybe something even more fundamental. Yeah.
I guess the division of proper journalism.
That's what I'm trying to say. Right.
So I guess my issue with that view is that...
Well, let's articulate it.
The newspaper itself.
I was thinking that it depends from newspaper to newspaper. That anything should be selected from the newspapers that you read. I personally find that some newspapers are responsible and other newspapers are less responsible about what they speak about. So I want to put forth, and all the other answers here today are excellent as well, is that maybe the other kind of the most newspaper speaking about a low quality newspaper. And here we're speaking about a higher quality newspaper. You have a comment? Go ahead.
I'm not particularly certain, most newspapers at that time period were all pretty, they're all ideologically good. They're often being much part of some opposing factions of some sort anyways.
We do kind of in the time that was called Half So Fair, which means it's a whistleblower, right?
I
don't really see, because there's no text, and there's an inference that he doesn't mention anything about Lashonara, so why not? So that's why I'm just offering you the speculation, but to draw a distinction, that maybe with Kimsa, that there's fine journalism, and then there's less than fine journalism. Yes.
Kimsa also says that there's a difference between what he believes is ideal as a religious person versus what can actually be legislated.
Ideal and real, right. Okay, well, you could say that. No doubt. So what I wanted to just talk about maybe for a few moments before we even take a look on these sources, what makes for a fine newspaper and a fine journalist? What defines that? Or better yet, if you would be an editor of a newspaper, how would you make sure that, what would your standards be? How would you make sure that it would adhere to high standards and make sure that you stay in business? Because, newspapers are only going to stay in business if they're going to sell papers. And unfortunately, at least from what I see, some newspapers like to have more machlokes. Maybe spread my focus, because unfortunately when you cater to the lowest common denominator, you're not focused. People are excited about that. And they're not so interested that their newspaper should be without Lashon Hara. Can anybody have any thoughts about that? About what that would be? What high quality journalism would be? All right. I'll be provocative then. I would push forth and say to you, I have an example of what I think is a good, maybe you'll disagree with me, of a good high standard paper, and I read it online. I try to do it every day. I think jpost.com is, not in my humble opinion, I think that they meet that standard. I think my experience with the Wall Street Journal, I was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal for a bunch of years ago about an article about Averton. And the journalist sent the article back to me for review 3 times. Each time, you know, corrections, and it came out. It came out very, very well. That's high standard. A lot of times, newspapers, especially if they're coming out every single day, there's a lot of pressure for them to get out the story right away. And, you know, in Turkey, I was going to say, have room to mean, but then, if you're going to come make a judgment about something, you have to be patient. Can't happen in 5 seconds. But for the newspaper, there's demands and schedules, and it has to come out right away. How are they going to be able to get it up to these high standards? Again, this is something to be for you to think about. All right. Now let's. One other thought that I wanted just to get out to you is that. Article in which on my presentation is based on, written by a very interesting rabbi in Israel named Rav Yuval Sholo. Maybe you haven't ever heard of him. You ever heard of Rav Yuval Sholo? So he is one of the most prominent voices in religious Zionism today. You went to Yeshiva? He's a real figure. He's a real character, by the way. It was in Yeshiva with me when I was in Israel. He grew up in America a little bit. Well, you would never know that, but he went to Dove Revel for 1 year. He tried to make himself, very, very Israeli. I know one time, I just maybe I'll give you a little flavor of him, what he's about, because you'll be seeing a lot of his writings over the years. He's a real prominent person. I remember it was a Friday, and it was a Friday afternoon, and I was playing football with the family, playing around a football catch with a friend of mine in lunch for the main road there. And he just came out of the mikvah. And I yelled over to him, "Hey, Yuval, you want to play football?" We tried to bait him that, he was trying to hide that he was being Native American. So he yelled back, "You Yankees." So just a little bit of his, who he is. So I hope that's not Ricky Luke, but that said in all fondness, just to very Israeli personality, but someone also who's I saw something he writes that he complained about. I remember him saying this back in Yeshiva, that we always speak about in terms of our relationships between men and women. We always speak about what's up. We never educate about what should be done. What should be. Rabbanim are always saying, no. Well, what's yes? We have to hear some yes. We have to hear some what's about relationship building, what's that all about between husband and wife. So here with that, we're going to start launching into our topic today. Is lesson hara permitted between spouses and also perhaps even between best friends? But before I do, I'm sorry, I just wanted to, sorry, just spinning here a little bit. One thing from Yuval Sholo, just one thing about a newspaper. He writes something here in this article. He wrote one line, he doesn't develop it very much. Just want to throw it out there, maybe you can chew on it, see what you have to think. He writes that there's more of a hazard today to have to read newspapers, because he feels more of a tolerance. Because he writes, a democracy requires its citizens to be knowledgeable. So, what? Any thoughts about that? One line about that. Is that true? I mean, here's my analysis. So, before we get into this husband and wife topic, just want to just backtrack a little bit about the newspapers. We talked a little bit about journalism and the need for what a newspaper should do. But why do we have to read a newspaper? Why is it important for you? Why is it important to read this? Yes.
It's just like arguing with a tailor, but yeah, it's like, oh, because we're in democracy now, we have to read newspapers. Or like, I think there should be even
democracy. Well, he's an advocate of democracy. Now that's coming from a positive attitude of a democracy. that, okay, we live in that attitude, we're empowering the citizens, and therefore, okay, if we're empowered citizens, government by the people, for the people, of the people, then we have to be, then if you're going to be a participant in the process, you have to be knowledgeable. And therefore, it requires, and he views democracy as being positive. The Nitziv, you've probably heard about this, the Nitziv, and if you say, I want to change, saying only if you want it, because then the people have the choice what kind of style of leadership do they want to have. Okay? So he views it, so if your choice is a monarchy, great. Your choice is democracy, great as well. If you've chosen democracy, then you have to be knowledgeable. What else is important to read a newspaper? Yeah?
That's one of the recommendations. How far the fact that you need to be knowledgeable in democracy gets you.
Okay, go ahead.
Because it doesn't tell you what you think you need to know.
Okay.
So, you know, why couldn't the newspaper just publish policy papers by candidates?
Right.
And the general background needs to understand those papers.
Right.
And that's it.
Okay.
That might be enough knowledge.
Okay. Well, let's start talking about last summer. Okay. Is it important to know about a candidate's, let's say what's going on in her family? Is it important to know about how close she thinks Russia is to her home? You know, how many Supreme Court decisions she can discuss? Is that important? Is that important for the average citizen to know that? Is it important for a voter in a democracy to be aware of someone that potentially could be the president knows? Is that important to know?
I don't know. Is it important? I think all I'm saying is that
it's not a policy paper, but it's important to know. It's about her.
Is that when he says you need to be knowledgeable,
right?
That doesn't tell us very much about what he really thinks newspapers can and should print.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you.
Maybe that he thinks they should print those things. Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe he thinks that you should print those things, but not things about their personal lives. The stuff about what she knows about Supreme Court decisions might be important, but the stuff about her teenage daughter's child out of wedlock.
Okay.
Like there was a whole host of different things
published
about political figures.
Right.
Some of which may be important, some of which may not.
Right.
And we just don't know, based on the statement that he's in favor of democracy and in favor of knowledgeable citizenry, what among the many options of things that newspapers actually do print are valuable to know.
Okay, good. And after we're going to talk about this, I'm going to raise another an even bigger issue. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, let's say that there is no reason to know about the personal lives of politicians. That still doesn't justify most of what exists in the newspaper.
Most, okay.
Because, you know, there may be, you know, three pages in the newspaper that are dedicated to politics. The rest of it tends to be events that happen either in the world or locally. There could be, you know, corruption within businesses, all sorts of different things that you could argue that these are necessary knowledge to know what's going on in your community to figure out how a candidate is going to best deal with these issues. But I think it's more about knowing what's going on within your community and in the world than about knowing the policy.
Okay. So, you know, share with you a dream that we have a community that would pressure an border community, not necessarily Orthodox, but even Jewish, general community, pressuring its newspaper to adhere to standards. Well, we don't want to hear about all this personal information that's not particularly relevant. If it's relevant, we want to know about it, otherwise we don't. Yes?
Well, I think even the that the personal stuff is relevant.
Right. On newspapers, as far as information is relevant, but newspapers
don't just report information. They also bring opinions and
judgments
and that themselves can sometimes be problematic. Yeah.
Okay. Could you give a specific example or?
Judgment on personal things
that they're.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
they try to be objective, but when it comes down to it, it's impossible to be
completely objective enough.
Okay, in other words, when you find some journalists that seem not to be reporting the news, but are either reporting the news to fit their agenda.
And especially when you have...
Well, stay away from a newspaper like that. That would be smart as a consumer.
Well, a lot of newspapers end up needing to get readership, and so that,
right.
that maybe the actual newspaper is one that is, not certainly one that doesn't completely fail, but it doesn't have a need for money.
Okay.
How do you even construct it?
Okay. That doesn't exist. In other words, if you'll have someone who's going to fund it, right? And that person who's going to fund it will have his agenda, his or her agenda. And so
the problem with advertising already. I mean, newspapers do a decent job anyway, for the most part, of creating a wall between the advertising department and the news department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the larger and larger their advertising base, the better they do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, that's not a new problem. That's
right. Okay. Maybe with the internet, maybe that can help reduce the problem of the pressure of having producing such a large readership. Maybe you can go for quality. Okay. I want to raise the following really bomb, and I'm not even sure whether to put it on, maybe take on the tape or not, but I'll keep on the risk as long as you agree not to post this on the internet. Are they clapper? Is this going to be posted on the internet?
Yeah,
posted on the internet. Okay. Okay, there you go. We resume. All right, let's talk about this issue of Al Lechner being, so we'll go now beyond the blood issue. Let's talk about Lechner being permitted between best friends and spouses. So if you look at source number one, you find that the Chabad Chaim writes, "Ein shum chiluk be'itzer hasipur bein in mesaber lechner shemachem kol rochok avol le'ishto." He says straight out, the Chabad Chaim, there's no difference. No special hatter, you know, people like that. A lot of times we think, we have our designated Lashon Hara person that you could speak to. You could talk about it. No, no exception, not even to a way. Now, number two. Source number two, the Chabad Chaim continues. Rabbi Mishamshin was there. A lot of people make this mistake. And again, this is because he's referring to a common mistake that is told today. That people think, this is one person I can speak Russian language, especially with things spouses. So the Rabbi Mishamshin was there, source number two, Shemitavlin, Shosem, Komash, Yilan, and Ploni, Uploni, Beit Mershah, Bashuk. And we'll transfer this not only for a spouse, we'll say best friend. Okay? They tell everything that happened to them. So now, the Chabad Chaim comes down very hard against us. He says, Mulvad Yitzhak Lashon Hara, besides the Yitzhak Lashon Hara, he adds in Machlokas, because why, what are you doing to that? Why is that adding oil to the fire? Because, what's that doing, fuel to the fire? Why is that? Because, now what's going to happen? Now you've made your wife a partner in the fight. So now she's going to join in. And then maybe he'll get the other, the person, your adversary, so you get the other party. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, normally you're telling your wife because you want her to be on your side and be an advocate for you and it's not focused, no? I mean...
Well, it depends. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
I don't think it's a negative thing.
Right.
I wouldn't be saying it this way.
Right.
It's not clear to me that's necessarily bad. I guess that's why you have to tell us it's bad, so that we know.
Okay. So, you said something very important. And let's say we can develop that. I think what you could say is it depends on the fight. As if it is known, is it not known? If it's not known, then you start telling your wife about this. Then that's like the problem. You're something that's not so known. You're putting fuel to the fire. You're raising the stakes, right? I think there's a very big difference. That's a very big point that we're going to get to, a very key point in this whole share, that it probably depends on what the speech is with your wife. Another thing is a well-known machlok, if you want to explain to your best friend or spouse what's your stand on this, it's a very big difference. That's a very, very important. And he writes also, at the end of line 4, that what's going to happen is that you, if you're going to tell about what happens, is that you're going to, that your wife is going to, you're going to lose respect for your spouse will no longer respect you, and family won't, or that friend won't respect you. Let's take a look in source number 3.
Do you have no restraint?
Good question. They won't respect you because of the lack of restraint, and they won't respect you because of the story. You know, you'll tell them how you behave. Well, maybe, and I think and that's a good question. That's an excellent question. And you leave that open-ended. So you could say that the lack of restraint. You could also say that they'll hear what happened, and they'll say, wow, you didn't really behave particularly well. So maybe you would have been better off not telling them that story. Well, there's certain things that happen. Maybe it's not always worthy of sharing. Yes, Rabbi.
I don't think I really understand the problem with family.
Go ahead.
I think that not only will she convince him to go a fight further with the other person, she herself will end up embarrassing the other person.
Okay. Okay, good. Not who the who. Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, very clever. Okay, good. Very good. You can read it in 2 ways. That's right. Good. I like that a lot. Now, assuming that it's to Bazehu, that she'll embarrass she'll despise, she'll lose respect for her husband. You can see here in Orcha Tzadikim. Anybody ever hear of the Orcha Tzadikim? You have, yeah. It depends on what yeshiva you went to. I'm good to know when there are Orcha Tzadikim. But I went to Moresh HaKolel when I was in high school, so in the summers, you know, we'd learn Orcha Tzadikim, right? The Mitzvah Sefer. And the Orcha Tzadikim talks about Lashon Hara, because he says here that what you're talking about, because what you do is Mevayesh Asmacha, he called Post El Posto, they know Dada Bishloka Sho'olah, the Dada Wissel, they have the Mumuno, etc., etc., etc. And it compares you to a fly, the fly goes, and, you know, a person has a shkin on their body, they'll be on the shkin, not on the rest of the body, so too someone who speaks Lashon Hara. And this is an important point, I think I'm going to try to broaden that, and I'm going to veer off this a little bit. And so, basically, I think when someone wants to improve in Lashon Hara, I think it's very different than almost anything else, almost any other area. When someone wants to, let's say, stop eating not kosher, and they want to get themselves used to eating kosher, do they need to search deeply into their neshama, or is it more behavior modification? And that's not an easy question to answer. To my mind, it seems to be a lot more behavior modification, slowly, gradually adapting yourself to change your eating habits. But when it comes to Lashon Hara, I think if you're going to want to exercise your strength in Lashon Hara, then you have to try to delve deeply into yourself and figure out why you're speaking Lashon Hara. What is it about your personality that you're looking negatively about people and speaking this way about people? I think that's what the Orach HaTzadikim is saying. And what I would like to put forth in terms of journalism is that a lot of journalism today, many newspapers, there's a ton of Lashon Hara. And there's a desire, we talked about a little bit about machlokas. So I think as a community, if we want there to be better journalism, at the same as a community, to improve and to have somehow more of a desire to look at things positively. Okay. Let's move now to sources 5 and 6 we saw. 4 we'll leave for now. So is there a possibility to speak Lashon Hara between best friends? So let's go to number 7. I'm sure you've done this already. You discussed already the issue of Daga, Blev, Ishi, Sishana?
I left out the psychological
issues. Okay, so you left that for me. All right, this is huge. This is huge. I know I've been saying a lot of things are huge, but... Well, yes. So, now, Da'aga B'Lev, it's a positive mishle. Da'aga B'Lev Ish Yisishana. Okay, there's Da'aga, there's anxiety in the person's heart. They should speak about it. Now, Chazal has 2 ways to understand it. Source number 8, Gemara Numa. Chadam Yisishana Yidata. One says you need to forget about it. The Chodom Ra, you see Chen Ulacherim, others mean that you should speak it out to others. Okay? Now that's huge. because even must leave the lesson, even the source number nine. If you're upset about somebody's behavior, about how the Chofetz Chaim takes this, if you're upset about somebody's behavior, and you're completely right, source number nine, unbelievable, in Kavanoso, we see Tulola, Sigasaka, Sonolito, but your Kavana is that to relieve yourself of that anxiety, that's like Kavon Chavemu Tulala Tulala. And that's what Tulala is. That's what constructive purpose, if even the Chofetz Chaim would permit. Now, can you give me an example? What would be a classic example of Dada Blaise Yishu Sikhana? Yes.
Tell me about something unpleasant that happened that day with the person.
Well, that's the question. How does that now? Okay, good. So good. Now, let's hit that on. Okay, let's forget about what I was doing. Let's take it in your direction. The same Chofetz Chaim who talks about Dada Blavish, he kind of the same Chofetz Chaim that was talking about that you're not supposed to go home and tell your best friend about somebody who insulted you in shul or in business. So, what's going on? Is it the same? So you're telling me, of course, and I know it's going on. I don't know if you could say that by the same Chofetz Chaim, but tell me, So tell me, ladies and gentlemen, can you resolve that contradiction? What's going on? Yes.
Maybe it's not just part of them having one day, but in the fight, cold, but maybe it's not just that they have a boss that's continuously.
Okay. Okay.
If they continue to stress and.
Okay. Okay. In other words, something right. Okay. In other words, that's very good. In other words, certain issues, the best thing to do is just ignore it, and then what will it do? It'll die down. Certain fires, just leave it alone, and just it'll just die out by itself. Certain fires have to put out. That's very, very important. Yeah.
Yeah, I did a little bit of work on quiz piece also. I have a stairs in the back of my
self-assignment,
but I have a good
And the distinction, therefore, just coming down to the Chofetz Chaim's own distinction of the Tulala has to be predicated upon the assumption that if Havana is the Tulala and not the Hoti Shema.
Okay, very important, no doubt. Also, I've seen the Chofetz Chaim harmonize the two opinions in source number 8. One says, you should send me that, you should send a lot of hair. How can you say that, how can you harmonize those opinions? If you send me dad is like from Hesapadad, let's forget about it. Depends on your kavana, okay. Or it depends. Sometimes you need to get something off your chest, right? But sometimes things, it's better off just to forget about it. No, just, what is it saying? It's saying just, if you send me dad, I was saying that there are certain things that don't let every little thing bother you. Don't be no sensitive, right? Anybody ever tell you that? Why are you bothered by all these things, right? So there's no, what Leshnauer is saying is that certain things, you know, just are not, don't make the radar. Just doesn't rise to the level of being worthy of bothering you and having to talk about it. So it's not like this car, it's got to be something that's a serious issue in order to be Yisichenu La'achirim. Maybe you could apply this also in journalism. Not every problem is worthy of going to the Italnews, you know, to the new to the newspapers and to the press, and it's all publicized.
Okay.
Now, what we've seen so far, is this only for staff, or could this be even be for best friends? With best friends talking over a cup of coffee or something. Is this only for staff or even best friends?
It affects that goal.
Okay, what kind of complete stranger, by the way, would be a good example for this? Right, for therapy. Absolutely, respectful a lot of times. Okay, there's therapy. That's, okay. This is the source where we end up to the therapist. Now, Rav Shola wants to suggest, based on the tshuva, the Tzitz Eliezer, which Rabbi Klaver told me that you learned, that based on this, you can build a broader hetzer perhaps between husband and wife. And that is as follows. So the Tzitz Eliezer, which you saw already, the question is, can the doctor share information with the secretary, or the secretary has to record various records of that patient? The patient is going to need to, well, it's going to find that the patient has some embarrassing diseases that would not want others to know. So what does Rav Oldenburg, the Siciliezer, in source number 10, what does he say? He writes as follows. He writes, here, so on line 3, he has 5 great words. Hakol kaguf organi rasus echad. What does that mean? They are one organic unit. The doctor and the secretary. Okay, now, I'm sure that doesn't get out of hand, you know, but in terms of, in any case, but it's like shluchol kagufo, right? Umalene poku arofe mashmielas. In other words, they're the same team, they're the same team. Now, in terms of Rabbi Sirashola wants to say, the same thing could apply to spouses, is that it's part of building a relationship. He was talking about that Rabbi said talk about the positives of male-female relationships. Right? So from the positives is building a relationship. And part of that building a relationship is you're acting as a team and you plan things. And sometimes when you talk with a team, there needs to be lashon hara. They need to be lashon hara sometimes. Give me a classic example. Did you do this Gemara Nida? I'm sure you did this Gemara Nida. About Gedalia, right?
Yeah.
Right? In other words, sometimes the team, they have to, right, that's the whole question. If you're going to be in government, you have to talk, well, there's a threat, this one's a threat, that's a threat. So as a team, you need sometimes to speak something more freely than you would with others. So, yeah.
This is a technical decision.
Yeah.
Is it that they have a hetzer to speak lashon hara, or is it that when it falls into this particular category, it's no longer classified as lashon hara?
Okay, it's good long this. Okay. Is it? What's that?
It's probably
right, go ahead. In other words, as long as your kavana, you saw the Rebbe Chaim, so did you do this right, number 4? So as long as the kavana, well, you do it right, Clapper.
Yeah.
Right, as long as the kavana is latov, then it is a very broad category. They write there, number 4, you know, as long as good intention. Right, the problem is everybody has good intentions. You know, you can have, Well, I mean, just to give a very jarring example, and I'm sorry, this is very jarring. I mean, in a certain way, you know, Hitler rationalized, you know, Himmler, they say, you know, we're doing a great service to humanity. Again, I mean, it's a very jarring and extreme example, but it's just a little caution about, you know, how far that can go. We have to put the brakes. We have to put the brakes on that. But you're right. I think you could say that the kavana could allow it. But this goes beyond the gablet issue fishkena, and it's saying that in terms of your building the husband wife relationship, sometimes it needs to be taught. Now, is that throwing out what the Chabad Chaim writes in sources number 1 and 2? Is that saying, well, Chabad Chaim, is there a machlokes or shaloh on the Chabad Chaim? Rav Shlomo was saying, well, you know that the husband and wife are guf or gani latsuf achad. Latsuf means continuum. Latsa, you know, continuum. So the alright, husband and wife guf or gani latsuf achad. So is there machlokas? Or can you harmonize the two?
I mean, it's very clear that to the... It's not clear whether or not there's a machlokas, right?
Right.
Because the Chofetz Chaim doesn't really...
They can say two different words.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Or the simple, yeah.
It's like what you're saying, right? I mean, Tzitzel Yetzer is making this very, very broad point, right?
Right.
And you know, we saw the whole Shuvah also.
Right.
Right, or most of it. You know, so his point is, you know, within the functioning of a bureaucracy, right, there are particular ways in which these mechanisms operate, right, and this is basically a mechanical operation,
right.
And as a consequence, I don't think he's the point is that this is a mechanical operation, which is required for the functioning of the bureaucracy. Now, the consequence, right. The secretary is functionally not a person. It's functionally a machine who's taking dictation, and that's it. And so that seems to be his main point here.
And also maybe also has some professional requirements
that's where this comes from.
Right.
Whereas when you're talking to your wife or your best friend, they aren't functioning in this way as a professional whose only task is to take it, or whose main task is this moment to take dictation. And they're functioning as another human being who exists in the world outside of the confines of this smooth-running bureaucracy. And I think it's just whether or not the Chofetz Chaim would agree with the Tzitzel Yetzer about how bureaucracies work and things like that, we can't know.
Well, what would you say about the Rav Shlomo?
Or even about Rochelle, I don't think we can.
Rochelle is taking the Tzitzel Yetzer,
right,
you
right.
know, a good couple of steps further.
We just don't really know, I think, and that's part of the problem. It's not an unreasonable move to make from the Chofetz
Chaim. I like to harmonize. I like to say, you know, you see in the Gemara, I'll make an Ukimta. When's the Chofetz Chaim talking about source number two? Even Rochelle in the article will say, it's not carte blanche. It's not carte blanche to everything. There are limits. And certain things you have to, even in among spouses, there has to be discretion. So that's what I was thinking. I don't think he's throwing out sources one and two and just saying the wife is our husband is there's a lesson heart exemption. Well, the complete lesson heart has to be between husband and wife. That I think he's not going that far. I'll tell you what, there's a little nekuda, a little point of machloke after I speak to her, and then we're going to wrap up. Yes.
The secretary and doctor's office and stuff and my friend, but because they have like some closer guidelines or in there, like, you know, like,
right.
like you can't say certain things. But I mean, I think that's sort of level of trust that you have provided by the government in terms of the secretary and the doctor. You sort of don't, you have a similar level of trust that between your best friend and deputy between the staff.
Right.
The trust that, like, you know, this isn't something that's going to be surprising. It's something that's, you know, that it really is a sort of a hard to feel that you're so close. I think the center that you can also say that, I'm sure maybe say that, I don't know.
Okay, that's good. It's another important point. Now, let's bear in mind, I just want to call your attention to two things, and we'll call it a day. Rochelle published this article in a journal called Tchumin. I love this journal, and you see I record it all the time. So Tchumin is, have you ever heard of this before? You've heard of Tchumin. Tchumin is it's one of the finest things that we have, literally in the modern Orthodox community. Come out in Israel, just come out with a 29th volume, writing on issues of Torah, society, and state. And the nice thing about that, the editors are playing an active role. I'll publish the articles, plus it's coming up on them, and they'll comment. If they don't like something, they'll comment. So listen to what Rochelle writes, and then the editor jumps in. Listen to this. I should have copied that. speak about what Rochelle talks about with the parameters of husband and wife, what they can, what they're allowed to speak about. The miscarriage, though, within the framework of a marriage. Medabrim al chavayot shonot, and this is not within the French, within the marriage. Al chavayot shonot, various experiences. Shemitim shurot that sometimes are connected to b'shevach anashim, b'shevach anashim, b'gunutam. Sometimes with praising people, and sometimes criticizing people. And he writes, "Zeh chelet biltini frad ne'aguf haragayin ha'kuroi mishpacha." This is an integral part of this organic unit called a family. Okay, what do you think of that? That's when the editor, one of the editors of Dasberg, writes, jumps in and says, "Tetach rachav midei la'aniyot dati niftach kan." This is too wide of an opening has been opened here. Okay? So, what do you say about that? As we just talked right now, okay, Rav Shlomo has extended it to Tzuliezer. And then, that line, you can pinpoint that line, it's like, whoa, there's something he goes pretty far here. And then the editor says, whoa. All right, so what are you, what are your thoughts? Tell us.
I really thought of something that I did in school.
Okay.
And I had a kid come to me, like a 5-year-old girl, and she was telling me what her father was saying about this other school, this other rabbi, and what he thinks, and whatever it was, and like, maybe that's going to have some of danger that if you get there,
Right, is this saying, okay, the Shabbos table, okay, well, the Shabbos table, we will pick a family out to air feelings about everybody in the community. Okay, I don't think Rochelle means that, but I hear you. In other words, you could show you how this can get out of control and be totally inappropriate. Okay? Yes, guys?
I think it's true that there's different considerations in the family, but I don't know if it's talking about people outside the family. But the difference is that within the family, there's a greater leaning with relationships. In order to have a stable unit, it's often necessary to criticize my brother, even though that would be entirely inappropriate.
To whom?
My brother, my sister, or my parents.
Okay. No, you're saying within the... I don't think he doesn't make that clear, but you're saying that, which is very good, too.
Right. Now, whether that extends to the larger community, whether, there's different standards of work that paper to criticize
something. I like that. Now, that's the key point where I was trying to get to. In other words, are we as a community, Jewish, Orthodox people, humanity, we are good organic achad? So we have to, that depresses this conversation that we have, right? That's something to consider. Really something to consider when you're, especially in general, and specifically in the Shiva. You missed a big moment here. But okay, that's a huge point. Really huge point. Yeah. You sure? Come on, let's hear it.
Well, I guess within a family, one of the things that goes on is also teaching children about proper ways to act. And so sometimes you have to, it almost seems like a natural built into it, like, to talk about the problems that are going on with the shul, because you're never going to get a more right moment to teach about a lesson other than when you see somebody do something wrong.
Okay, so maybe we can find a happy meeting with like host case where the 5-year-old comes talking about, oh, he doesn't like this and that's what that other rabbi does, right? Which is clearly wrong. Well, or maybe when the child sees somebody, so I took my kids to a baseball game, and sitting next to us were a bunch of guys, a whole bunch of friends that were boozing it up. And they were behaving so poorly. I used that as an opportunity to talk to my kids about alcohol abuse and how one behaves in public and what it does. They got so that's very different than just broad lesson number. That when they see something specific, hey, there's a teachable moment about certain behaviors they should avoid. Okay. All right. Just one last thing that I'm going to end here, because I've talked a lot, maybe hopefully not too much, is that something Rav Shlomo points out, and I really want to tell you, and based in, I see this all the time. I'll start it with a story.
First,
this is on the record. This is okay. This is power. This is not as, like I said before. Okay. My first din Torah. First time I was sat in a student cell, the first party gave their case, and I was like, I was listening more and more. I said, oh, they're right. And then the other party started bringing their case. What do you learn from that? And you see this doesn't always happen in a student cell, but though in life. But there's a lot of times the two sides of the coin, the two ways to look at things, and even when you're learning a chumash, when you see different perspectives on different you have the Meraglim story as presented in Devarim, presented in as the way the Meraglim is presented in Shlachta, different perspectives, different views. People see things. That's the way people are. People have. When someone tells you a story, it's their perspective on what happened. It can be a totally different perspective, and being aware of this can be helpful in a couple of areas. First of all, it can be helpful to know, first of all, that person is telling you is not necessarily the only way to look at what happened. It may necessarily be, I'm not saying a lie, but it's not the full story. Okay? Just like W. Bryan Gimel is not the full story, and Yudal is not the full story of the Magrin. The full story you need to put together is Ramallah, Farakas. Okay? Yeah, I see, I don't necessarily buy that. Well, right, any day, please. What's that? No. and the other thing is that it helps you cope with Lashon Hara that did not speak Lashon Hara. Maybe the other guy, you have one perspective, the other person has another perspective. It helps you get along with other people, reduce Lashon Hara. And something to consider also with journalism that you get a story, well, have you heard everybody out? Have you heard everybody you heard them to their fullest extent and to really to get all the story? When I sit in the Din Torah, you need to get, in a normal case, there'll be minimum 5 hours. Everybody's got to tell their story. The full story, both sides of the full story, all the documents that are involved, and you have to look through it and carefully think about it. Are journalists able to do that? Are we able to see the full picture? So that's something to consider. Who's the vice president's name? Mr. Greenberg, right? So is Mendel Greenberg, he knows where all the bodies are buried. Does he have a full story? Does he? Is the journalist presenting that whole story? So something to think about. So I hope this has been eye-opening to you in terms of relationships with your friends, with Mir Hashem, with the staff, and hopefully it's given us, and certainly I know I've been enriched with this give and take about family and also about the role of journalism and Lashon Hara and in general society, and specifically in the Jewish and the Orthodox community. Okay. Well, that's what he was kind of saying, that also very, between the lines, maybe that's what's necessary. Maybe that's what's part of a democracy. But he didn't want to say that. I think he was kind of hinting to that.
Are we willing to set up this kind of model which takes the advantage or scary part of the thesis that it's not that you don't have to evaluate what you're doing in any specific circumstance. So you just have to say, is it with all this, that this relationship can spread the information we share in this relationship. And you no longer have to evaluate whether I need to justify this particular piece of negative information. So, because I ask the question, I have an issue of, should I see this to you or not?
that the answer to that issue is that our relationship will be damaged. The whole head zone of my serving as a filter as to what information I give you is damaging to the relationship, and the one that answers the question that actually knows where to put that open relationship, then the whole issue of our advantage is. Because there isn't any information you shouldn't have, and it doesn't matter whether this specific information is the caller or not, because the whole toilet is that you should have confidence that I let you make your own decisions about that.
Okay. That's an important point. But the only thing is that as a huge point. But here's the difference. A spouse needs to know a lot more than I think general society. So I think two things a journalist has to figure out: what's the need to know? Like here in your case, in the tshuva, there's a need to know. There's a specific need to know. You have to protect yourself from this particular person. Question: how much do you need to know? You know, do we need to know? Here, there was this big in the Torah Minor Journal a bunch of years ago. I don't know if you discussed this. They published letters of Hillel Yaakov Weinberg that he had, a correspondence that he had with a friend of his, who was a Reform rabbi. And then a Talmud of the 3DH wrote in and said, why did you publish this? Was it really necessary to know? Well, Schwab has written about against history. He said, is it necessary to Schwab? It was the Rav of Breuer's community, very much to the Haredi, staunchly Haredi. And he was, we don't need to know all the things about history. Our picture of the past should be that it's idyllic. No, we don't need to know about the problems that existed in the shtetl. We should do the shtetl as a place where never was heard a discouraging word, and the skies were never cloudy all day, right? You know, that's what the shtetl should be in our mind. That's his view. But the question is, we have to figure out what is the need to know. And one other thing, and that could be a big difference between a husband and wife, relationship building in terms of society building, community building, but also in terms of the MS. The wife only needs to know what the husband's or wife's perspective is. That's what the spouse needs to know, the perspective. But what does the community need to know MS? And my question is, Do newspapers, the way they're set up now, are they set up to be able to determine MS? Because I can tell from base that it takes a long time to especially on thorny issues to determine MS.
Another issue that I've been trying to push it.
Good.
I'm not sure if I can do it, but let's say,
by the way, he plays a big role. You know what I mean, Joel, today? You have Shiloh, you can text him and Rav Avinair. And then they publicly said they're texted every day. What's that? You maybe have to find online how to text him. I think it's Moresset is his website. And so...
So let's close the love thing. Do I need to know that the secretary...
And Rostrella was the more liberal one than Rav Gavinel. So in case you didn't know. Okay. Yes.
We can have an evidentiary question. We've got a question to begin with. Do I need to know about the sexual life of political candidates only about the way they make all the policy decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not one question. But I might take the position that I need to know everything about the way that policy officials make those policy decisions. And therefore, let's take Bob Hoover. Bob Hoover publishes these books now, which are basically just line by line, blow by blow, of pictures of the decision-making process of the president. Which includes lots of details. If you ask me, do I need to know this detail now? Do I need to know that President Bush made decision X
one morning, it went really hard because he had dread, because he had a bad night's sleep and dread, and Colin Powell did actually, I mean, he's like, the pain is not that good. I just went, no, none of those matter. But I do have an interest in knowing what kind of decision maker President Bush is. In order to have that, know that, I have to know not just how important that decision to make, but the trivial bad decision to make, the good decision to make, because I think it affords us a leader of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I can make the claim that anything within the realm of his performance as a public official is fair game, even though there's no proportionality. Right? Which is, you know, the amount of embarrassment that this particular detail will cause him in terms of the amount of insider gain.
What you could say is that perhaps the bar of Lashon Hara is different for some of the public personalities. As we know, things about David Melech that, you know, and his private life. So, and why does it not tell us about that? Why does it not, why do we need to know about David and Bathsheba? Okay, so it was wrong. So why do we have to know about it?
Nothing in the
rest of the
wrong
has been
considered.
Okay. Okay, so it's necessary. In other words, certain things are necessary to know about the leader.
Yeah, that's not the other side of it. When you understand the policy of Muslims, you the fulfillment of the union is to be allowed not to make a better. I don't think that's a... The position forward of it is not about anyone to know that. It makes nonsense.
Well, the question is how you understand what that means. But okay, yes. Right. Right.
About the chicken, I'm not trying to get into the public private vision. I think in general, can we take the approach, literal fellow's universe, that the question, you have to ask the question, what is the nature of this relationship? What is the sphere of information that I need to know? Like, what's the universe in which information needs to be shared in this relationship? And once I make the determination that this is a universe of shared information, that I no longer have to ask the question about any specific piece of information. The only question I have to ask you is in the parsha or out of the parsha? So in the parsha, in the parsha of public official acting publicly, then all of a sudden, it's mutter, even, and I don't have to make a statement on the fact that I'm just going to get a theta, about whether this piece of information is worth the thought for the person I'm talking about.
The overall sacrifice, right? So the overall sacrifice, right? Of my serving as a filter in the relationship is so damaging. Right? I just can't. I need to have confidence that, let's say, Colin's in the desert, right? So we have some kind of credibility case, and I talked to him every time. Right, we have to say, this guy's a liar. Right. He realizes he's a liar. Right? We want to talk about how this, I have been waiting to do this person to stop being sorry.
Mm-hmm. So it may be that our best friend needs to share everything he needs to know about that person, and not talk to them in other words. I think that, you know,
go for Gani Achat. Let's go for Achat.
We'll help you make a better decision. We'll help you make a better decision. I need to give you the fortune to make up your own mind.
Uh-huh.
And that should be true in society with regard to public officials, but also in life in regard to anything that makes your life the other part. I mean, that's the model I think we're still setting up. I'm wondering if you're comfortable with that.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. It's opening up very, you know, as the editor wrote here, Petach Rachav. It's a very big opening. The question is, can you die? The questions are too much. So I think I'm going to stop here, right? Or do you want to continue? Oh, okay.
I was just going to add on to the thing, because it's a useful
kind of that. Definitely. So I want students to grapple. I want everybody to grapple in their... you know, in your tshuva. Yes.
Because my wife only needs to know one perspective, but the public needs to know the truth. But the truth is my acceptable error. Now, it doesn't determine the truth either. It doesn't determine some kind of proclamation that is useful. And really, have you seen Rashomon? Rashomon is this amazing movie.
It's famous
because it shows you the same principles, the same event.
Right.
From the perspective of, hopefully, a really interestingly...
Right. Tanakh. Okay.
When you do it, not only technically.
Right. and Rav, new from Aladdin, with Tanakh. Rav Sabata, right? Not Rav Sabata, Rav...
Yeah,
Rav
he's
The union parshat Ratan. Ratan specifically refers to Arash.
No.
Right. So there's a perspective. Okay.
And so maybe the job of this, you know, so maybe a thousand to one perspective, and the public needs another perspective.
But does the journalist, that my big issue is, does the journalist have that? Does it do that same kind of investigation that we
do? No, but again, so then,
we're not necessarily getting to the ultimate end. It's very hard for a human being to get to that, but
this is what this one says, and that.
Yeah.
Are we assuming that most
let's see what you guys have to say in that you wrote. Yes.
Are we assuming that most of the public only has a fee to get their news from one source? Maybe we should say this that really people have obligations to read as many sources of news as they possibly can.
Why would they have that obligation?
Because no journalist can really get at the entire truth. And the only way to get the truth is from the perspectives of multiple journalists.
Well, the question is, why, you have to, in different, then you have to really ask yourself, why is that important to know? Like, why do you need to know that? Well, we live in a society that believes you need to know. But sometimes you have to really consider what is it that you really need to know. You need to know if someone is a child molester, right? If you're going to attend a dinner celebrating somebody, maybe you should know, well, is this person, should I be celebrating that person? That makes sense in a chuvah. But certain issues we have to think about is, do I really need to know this? And a reader of a newspaper, do you really need to know this? Yes.
Let me just play devil's advocate for a minute.
Yeah.
In light of the Gemara Nida by Gedalia, right, where the issue is, Gemara doesn't assume that Gedalia should have known that it was true, and they assume that you should believe him.
Right.
Now, the whole time doesn't extend that heter to speaking like Gemara. That you can't speak like Gemara if you don't know that it's true.
That's true. It
could be, and I think we'll probably leave it to the reference, but Gemara and the Yom Tov does. Okay. If I can worry about things for myself when I don't know that they're true, if I know information that could potentially damage someone else, even if I don't know it's true, that I have to make sure that he knows it. So, at least a plausible argument could be suggested in light of Zanzayam, though, that if something is a real public, need, even if I don't know it's true, just like I have to worry about it for myself, I have to worry about it for the public.
Now, I think the Chavetz Chaim, actually later on in Chaf Yud and Hovah Shloshim Hara, he actually does say something like what you're saying, even the Chavetz Chaim, not just the Madani Yom Tov. Okay, that here. Talking about his wife is, talks about the following situation. What that, but this is a better wife. Let's say a person, actually a wife or a friend or a business partner is extending credit to somebody. But he hears that this person is not doing so well. A few of them are doing etzivam hara, lachshama alehem. Okay, that he heard. He's not sure, but he's heard. Well, this person is questionable character. Even though you don't have to be absolutely convinced that what you heard, I'll call upon him. What wish we buy it? You have to be concerned. Well, maybe it's true. Right?
No. You never.
So he even starts to say.
No. When
he said, I know he requires that to know for sure, but apparently here he's, he's another conversation. He seems to be saying that. I heard such and such that he's not reliable, therefore don't extend credit to him. So I really think it depends on the issue. Okay? I think if, you know, the Chavetz Chaim will say, well, a girl is dating a guy, and I've heard he has an abusive past, I don't know for sure, I haven't investigated, I've heard this, it might be true, this is something you should look into, you should investigate further. thing. So I think you look up at time also lose open that certain things when you're not sure about that you could that you can bring out. But really depends, I think, that I, what about where I said elsewhere it needs to be, you need to know for sure. It depends on the circumstance. Extending credit is maybe a different story than attending a dinner. Marrying someone's different than employing somebody. Yeah. Something to consider. And I guess the question is, what if a person doesn't agree to be interviewed? Because if they can judge them without their presence, if you want to know some basic procedures, the good place online, even if you don't want to look in the Shulchan Aruch, Betzdin.org, the procedures of the rules, and you can take a look on the rules and procedures of the Betzdin of America. You can see what they do when the other party doesn't want to refuse to participate in the proceedings. And maybe you can discuss it. You can bring that in there, too.
All right.